All right. So looking at the top of my page of this slow to learn, it says that Christians today are biblically illiterate. And it shows in Hebrews 5, 9 and 13, it says, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Now, he was giving a whole selection where he's speaking of Jesus. And then it says it was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Then he stops and he says, we have much more to say about this, but it is hard to explain. And watch what he says, because you are slow to learn. That term, like I said, is not a condition we have. It's not like ADHD. It's not like a dyslexia. It's not like autism. It's nothing like that. It's something that we are doing. We're slow to learn. We should be urgent. It should be something we are rushing to do and anxious to do. It should be one of the main things we are fighting to do. But the slow to learn is something we are doing. That's why he gives another side of it when he goes, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, which is placing a place where we should be. He's saying to them, you know, a lot of you really should be at this level by now, which is not. Now, and I heard some Christians use it. Well, I'm just moving at my own pace at my own time. That's a human statement. You know what I mean? You make that stuff up instead of going to God's word, not recognizing there is a responsibility. There is something that we are responsible for doing. Okay. So we got to be very careful that we don't get caught up in allowing our thoughts on worshiping God to get in the way of worshiping God. He says, in fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Now, let me stop for a minute. Going back here, he says we have much more to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. It's that same thing of, until you get to this level, I can't teach this level. And there's a lot that I may teach or you may hear that you're not going to get, or you'll be misled on if you're slow to learn, because you won't be able to understand it. So it'll be confusing. You'll be lost. And this is what's happening to a lot. A lot of Christians are kind of just taking people's word for it. And this is why you got ministers that like to come out and try to act like they have some mystery, and you just follow them and you'll be okay. Instead of them teaching, no, you have access to the word, to knowledge, to wisdom, to understanding. But what we're doing is what's hurting it. So hopefully after this lesson, you'll learn what we need to. But he said, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. He says, you need milk, not solid food. And First Peter had told you to crave pure spiritual milk. That's what's told to all Christians, to crave that first, and then in it you will grow. And as you get that pure spiritual milk, then you'll head on to solid food. But that's why he says you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant. That's how sound doctrine works. That's what lets us know about First Peter. So when a person starts off in First Peter and they're still being an infant, they're still going off of the milk and they're missing out on the solid food. But watch what happens when you don't have the solid food. It says, if you still live on milk, being still an infant is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, which we see, which is a common sight with Christians today. Christians, almost some of the biggest groups, are easily conned, easily misled. And you just see today on TV and videos some of the nonsense that you see people in the name of Christianity doing, and then they'll say, but I'm a Christian. And we're watching us do this. We're following things foolishly and we're doing things foolishly because we're slow to learn. So we're hoping after this, like I said, we come out of this, especially starting with us, and then we can move on to others and go into it. That's why I have down here, slow to learn is not implying a learning disability, but a choice of lacking urgency to knowing God, Christ. Christ allows distractions because that's what we aim for. Christ allows choice for you to make a choice on what you're going to do. So when we set like Bible study and stuff like that, when you have time, you can study at home on your own. When there's things you can do, there's always other things you can do. And it's very easy for us to do those other things or to say, oh, okay, I'll do this Bible thing or I'll follow God. Like I said, the timing of churches, especially the teachings of churches, have shrunk. Do you understand that? And it has shrunk because people's attention span is gone when it comes to God. However, entertainment, just things we want to do, even our work has expanded, has grown, and we're dealing with it. And we're being just fine with it. But when it comes to the thing that is our life, it has shrunk and we put up with it. So why are so many slow to learn? First of all, They allow too many distractions to make the word ineffective in their lives. In the parable he showed in Luke 8, verse 14, he broke this down. It says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. Okay, that means they're going to church. So this even excludes the non-Christian or the ones that don't even go to church. Okay, this is saying, this is talking about those who hear the word, so they at least hear it. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Think about that. Because maturity is a major part. Just like we said, if you're still on milk, you won't understand the teachings about righteousness. You won't know what true righteousness is. You'll call people righteous that are not righteous. You'll deal in things that have nothing to do with God and call it godly. And it's only because things in life do it. And he broke it down to three categories: life worries, riches, and pleasures. Life worries. The thing that we see in Matthew 6, if a Christians really understand what Christianity is, they realize God is my provider. So how do I access my provider? I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So I go to work with the focus of seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. I come back home seeking his righteousness, his kingdom and his righteousness. In my entertainment, I seek his kingdom and his righteousness. What it's saying to me is he's my provider. My job is to only seek him in his kingdom and his righteousness. What we make the mistake of doing is I have to make a living. So I go to work to make money, or I go do this to make money. You know what I mean? We start living for ourselves and we want God to bless it. But we feel like we're the provider. So I got to get a better degree. I got to make more money. I got to work more overtime. You see where I'm going with this? Because I feel like I'm the provider. We missed it. If you notice, I didn't say not to work, because part of his kingdom and his righteousness is for us to work. The Bible's very clear on us working, but it tells us how to work. It tells us what our work purpose must be. But we allow life worries, basic things, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. We went through a pandemic where things happened and stuff. And I'd say even people lost their job during that time. But it was our time and our opportunity to show who's our provider. Now, not us sitting there going, oh, God's going to provide, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. There may be a little extra I have to do. There may be some providing from others that may happen. However it is, we know it comes from God and we're provided for as we open the door for him to provide for us. But we tend to just worry. So that distracts us. Riches. When it talks about riches here or wealth, it's talking about riches or wealth with or without. It's what we have with or without. In other words, those who have it and those who don't. Those who don't start pursuing it and it becomes a distraction. In other words, I want more money, so my time is going to be on making more money. When I have too much money, I'll let that money guide what I'm going to do next and or how to keep that money. That money or wealth or whatever is valuable to me becomes a distraction. Once again, I don't go after God. And then it says, and pleasures. And that speaks for itself. The things I like. Pleasure is not always entertainment. It's just what I like to do. Why do you think we are driving churches to preach to us desirable sermons? Why? Because we like them. Does that make sense? You know, we want to like it, not give me what's right, give me what I like. So that becomes a distraction. So because of these things and we allow them, it says they choke what we hear. You hear this, you go, amen, and you go out there in one of these categories, you're done. And you'll be back here next week as if nothing was said. And that's the problem. You have access not to let this happen. Another reason why there are so many slow to learn, they don't see the importance of maturing, so there is no effort. Here's the problem. Many Christians are still walking by sight. You don't know how many Christians I've seen fall away, and their answer will be, I just don't see a change. I'm not seeing what's happening. And I get it. Problem being is they were fleshly people trying to live spiritual. Think about that. Fleshly people trying to live spiritual. Okay, so in other words, I'm trying to please something with something that wasn't meant to please that. I'm still trying to be fleshly. There's a lot of people who look at the flesh or the world's way of being happy, the world's way of being rich, the world's way of loving, and so on and so forth. And we want God to give us that. And his word first explains that's wrong, that's bad. For some odd reason, we ignore that. And we tend to then go after, once again, his spirituality. Trying to take care of the flesh doesn't work. You're absolutely right. You'll sit there going, it's not working. I don't get it. And in that frustration, you'll fall away. In not seeing that, you won't put the effort into being spiritual in order that you may benefit spiritually. Look what it says. Maturing is something we must choose to do. It shows us first in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now, you have to reference that child to being a non-Christian or, you know, even a babe in Christ. And he says, when I became a man, so when I matured, look what he says, I put childish ways behind me. I think a lot of us want it to happen to us and not realize what we are strengthened to do, but we choose not to do it. We're still leaning upon, I want you to make my emotions fit what you say, I mean, what I feel. I want you to do it to make me feel, not me be. I have the full access to his word and his strength. I can do all things, but I choose to still please the flesh because I didn't put the childish ways behind me. So even though I'm matured, that means I've been a Christian for many years, access to all this stuff, I'm still thinking like this person just became a Christian and doesn't understand. You see this? Another thing we see is we must make up our minds to keep spiritually maturing. This is a process that you tend to do. And like I said, go back to the movie or whichever one you want to pick of Karate Kid. If he would have told him what he was doing, it would have ruined it. And this is why in many of our lives, what God is doing, he's not telling you, because then you'll try to step in the way and try to do it. You see how kids do it? If you were telling them, this is what I'm trying to get you to do, be a better runner, to be a better this. I work with my grandson on working out. And when I try to tell him ahead of time, then he's trying to do it himself. And he's running all over the place and you have to get him. Instead of just telling him, do this next one and work on this next one and just do what I tell you to do. And in the same way, God puts us through this. But once again, we try to do it and we don't see results and we get mad at God. Instead of doing what he says in Hebrews 6, 1 to 3, he says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death and the faith in God, instruction about baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. So when he gives that going on to maturity, he's saying, some of us will be happy to go to church and let them preach the basics, and you'll go home. You'll say amen to the basics, because it stays where I understand. It's like a person saying, I went to school, as long as they stay at a third grade level, I'm cool. I don't have to think too hard. Homework is going to be a whiz. I'll ace every test in the next year, third grade again. Why? I don't want to do it. I don't want to grow in it. I don't want to learn. Instead of, like he says, go on to maturity. What is next steps? The importance of this. We have to show you are my purpose, and we got to put that effort into it. We did it with our jobs. We did it in relationships. We did it with stuff we wanted to do. Right? When it comes to God, we want him to do it, or we go, God, you failed. And we push him away. Now, the worth of maintaining God's word is not appreciated. That's another reason people are slow to learn. The worth of maintaining God's word, of just keeping it. He says in Romans 1, 28, he says, furthermore, they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Okay? They didn't think it worthwhile. So in other words, you're going into it, and if we're being honest, a lot of us serve God as if we're doing God a favor. And then if God doesn't respond in the way we think he should, we're done with God. And you were done from the beginning, the minute that thought pattern came across. When a person recognizes who God is, they realize, man, I have access to this powerful. And not only do I need to get it, I need to hold on to it. See, how many of us read the Bible or we'll hear this sermon and by tomorrow it's gone? You understand? The retaining it is where you're repeating it, you're growing in it, you're talking about it. We're going to talk about what retaining it means a little later, but the understanding of where it's in you, it becomes a part of you. That's the renewing of your mind. He said that. He makes this clear. They did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God, and that was God gave a punch, and part of his wrath was he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Here's the problem. There's a lot of people that are in that mode right now because the effort to retain was not made, eventually you're not going to be able to retain. In fact, you're going to really think the warped way of your thinking is right. And we see a lot of that today. There is stuff that is so clear that you'll hear people say, and they'll use God And it should be so clear to them of you do know that has absolutely nothing to do with God. But when you watch people that are going amen or following it, it should blow our mind. But this is what's happening. Their depraved mind now is saying and doing these warped things which have nothing to do with God. You see this? That should scare you, because I think a lot of us think I'm going to keep doing this until I reach a day, then when I'm getting ready to die, then I'll do this. No. The thing about it is some have already reached a point and it's done. Part of his wrath, he gave them over to a depraved mind, to where your warped way of thinking will start making sense. And not only make sense, you'll put it in line as if it came from God. Another way, reason so many are slow to learn is they think as long as they say we are Christians, then we are considered Christ's family. But it's not those that say it, it's those that do it. Now, I was listening to a minister and a sermon. Unfortunately, they are so scared, especially when we talk about grace, of even using any ounce of works. Works cannot be included. You can't say that. Grace is not by works at all. And they're absolutely right. Grace is not by works, but the works is our evidence that we've received that grace. Because remember, grace has been displayed to all men. Now it's up to us to receive it. And how do you know the ones that receive it? You'll see it in how they live. Bible makes that clear. And that's why he says in Luke 8, 21, he replied, my mother and my brothers are those who, watch this, hear God's word. Now that's very important first. Not just go to church, because not all churches preach God's word. Okay, God's not impressed that you just at least go to worship. And you ever get those people, like we just did the order my steps on lowering the bar, and you get a lot of people that play the, well, at least they're going. Well, at least they're listening. You ever get those? And I tell y'all, please don't do that. Do not do that. Because you're giving them a pass on not passing. You understand that? They didn't even reach the level. You lowered the bar that they really didn't pass. See, the key is you have to hear God's word. So if I go to church and not preaching God's word, I got to, bring it to their attention. If they still not preaching God's word, I got to go find a church that's preaching God's word. That's my responsibility. That's the first part. Hear God's word and then and put it into practice. That's what he said. That's my brothers, my mothers, and my brother. That's his family. He's letting them know that he said, those are going to be ones you know that are my true brothers and my mothers and my family. He said, it's going to be those that you're going to see the word of God in their lives, not somebody just claiming to be. Not somebody that has a church membership. It's going to be the actions displaying what they've read, and that what they read is going to come from God. It's like Bereans. They don't care if Pastor Keith said it or Pastor John or Pastor whoever out there says it. Their whole thing is going to be, as long as those pastors are preaching from the Bible, which I'm going to check, and then you're going to see me living it. That's a Christian. Okay, and you hope that resonates with us, because a lot of us kind of say amen, but is that with you? Can you really say, yep, that's me? Somebody would see me walking down the street, they're going to see the Bible, not them giving me their definition of what they think a Christian is. Will they see the Bible? He says, put it into practice. Another reason is people are not living using God's wisdom. Okay, we're living using common sense and worldly wisdom, but we're not using God's wisdom. When he says in Matthew 7, 24, therefore, everyone who watch this, hear these words of mine. Please understand, hopefully you're seeing a pattern going on here. With the biggest part is you got to first hear the word. So anybody who is either not receiving the word, they're just not going to church, they're doomed anyway, period. Okay, so if you got a Christian not going to church, doomed. Okay, Christian who goes to church, don't pay attention to the word, doomed. Christians go to church and they're not preaching the word, but you're not changing anything, doomed. You get this. Hopefully that has to stick in, because he keeps coming back to this. Hear these words of mine. But he goes back into it. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and watch and puts them, I'm sorry, I went to the wrong one. I'm reading the other one again. Nobody stopped me, but that's okay. Praise God. No, same one. I'm sorry. Matthew 7, 24, where he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So in the same case of the people that you see hearing God's word and you see him doing it, he's saying that's the person that's wise. That's the person that's living in God. Okay. And he's reiterating this because it's a pattern in what we have to do, that we have to make sure that we're taking what God is saying, understanding it, and doing it, and then repeating. And then you keep doing this process, right? People are not using the right resource to understand God's word. Okay. Sometimes we use this to understand God's word. In other words, we try to understand it ourselves, even though God's word is the one that says, trust in him and lean not upon your own understanding. And you're like, well, then how do I do that? And he says, trust in him. And the key is let the Bible interpret the Bible, not your feelings, not what you've seen, not because it made sense. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I'm watching these videos and things that are going around. And of course, sometimes they're pointing out these ministers. Some of the things they're saying that the ministers are doing that are crazy, they're right. Some of the things that they're saying to the ministers are saying that they're crazy, they're wrong. But I couldn't say anything because it's a worldly person that the thing that they're saying is, and it sounds warped. It does sound warped in a worldly sense. That's why we don't give pearls to swine. But even us as Christians, if I'm not leaning upon the Holy Spirit, which is the word, which is Christ, I'm going to lean upon me, and it's going to sound foolish. And this is why there's so many parts in the Bible right now we're even ignoring today, because it sounds foolish to us instead of us trusting him. It says they are foolishness to him. And watch this. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. He's letting you know, you allow anything else to try to give you understanding, you won't be able to understand it, whatever you get out of it. And sometimes people write books and they use all these algorithms and all these other books and these other people, but not the Spirit. But whatever they're giving you, they're just making you worse and worse in your understanding. You're more and more clouded instead of letting the word interpret the word. Hopefully you get this. A major reason an effort is not made to aggressively learn is because people have a distorted perception of God. Look what he said in Malachi when he pointed towards this. He says in Malachi 3, 13 to 15, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying on his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? You see what they're saying? And we're saying the same thing today in our actions. In other words, by how we treat the word and how we treat living the word. We kind of do our own thing and then we pray. God, can you make my life better right now in me, even though I have no intention on listening to you? Or God, I'm only going to give you this much of my life, even though you are my life. You understand that? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, people are saying it's not worth it. I go to work, I get a paycheck. That's worth it. I go out and I have good fun. That's worth it. I'm doing this one other thing over here and it makes me happy. That's worth it. I keep taking these pills. That's worth it. Then I die. Hopefully it was worth it. You know what I mean? Spoiler alert. It wasn't. And it's not. It's dangerous. He's trying to save us from us. That's why, you know, people ask that question. What did we gain carrying on this requirement, going on about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? It says, but now we call the arrogant blessed. Does that show you anything? We call people who are arrogant, living down here in worldly pleasure, doing crazy stuff, blessed. We call them godly. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. In other words, we're watching people who are not godly, but by world standards are successful, and we're idolizing them. All of these are reasons why slow to learn comes into play, because we're walking by sight. We're allowing what we see in all these physical sense to make us miss what he's showing us spiritually. So what are the consequences for staying in the path of those who are slow to learn? Right? I think some just go, oh, well, we'll still go to heaven. In some small cases, yes, some small cases, you'll end up going astray. But it's, once again, our fault. Let's understand what it shows here. First of all, we must walk by faith without growing in the word. We lack faith. It's a vicious cycle here. Okay. So since I must walk by faith, that's the thing I have to have. I have to get faith. So I need the word. But to get the word, I have to have faith. To have faith, I need the word. That's why he says Romans 10, 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the word of the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Going back to that, what word? The word of Christ. Not just you going to church or hearing something. It better be something from the word and solidly and soundly from the word. Once you get that, you get faith. But that faith is what makes you go hear the word. And all of it comes into play because, you know, you're going to have to apply it. But this is that cycle that we have to have. It comes from hearing the message. Hearing the message is you're taking it in, and there's nothing wrong. I always say one of the greatest things that can come out of it is if you have questions. You should have one thing, and I think a lot of ministers run into on this, is either you have a boatload of questions or, man, it's clear. Each sermon's coming to you is clear. How many of us just don't ask questions, or we don't, you know, chase after it because I just don't want to be bothered. He might talk about it. And then we got to listen. And I got things to do. Even though your life depends on it. Amen. Even though it's something we really need, I don't want to talk about it. You know, and we'll make up stuff. Don't worry, it'll come to me. And then it doesn't come to you. There are people you watch doing the same thing over and over again, and God's not going to go, oh, they're doing their best, because we're not. Do you understand that? The key we have to understand is that faith makes me read his word in order to grow in faith. And I'm going to continue to do this. And not just read, hear his word, but I got to read his word in order to know that what I'm hearing is from him. The other consequence is the gospel is what we are saved by. Only if we hold to it firmly. Only if we hold to it firmly. 1 Corinthians 5:2 says, by this gospel you are saved if. Say to yourself, if. So this is a requirement. Someone to stop here and just say, by this gospel you are saved. So you just go, I accept Christ, my personal savior, I'm saved, right? That's what people want. But he's saying, no. If what? You hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, watch this. You have believed in vain. Okay? And that belief is thinking that you're doing it, that you're living it. Because true belief will show it. You understand that we see in James 2. So the true belief is holding firmly to the word. See, how we know that we're holding firmly to the word is our situation won't define us. So think of it this way. Here's your test. So you get the word, you're holding on to word. If you really get it, he can now take you and put you in anything, shake you up, bring you out, and you're still firm in him. Think of Job. That's what happened. Y'all catch that? No matter what situation, he could put you in an overly painful situation, and you're still holding on to him. He could put you in an overly pleasurable situation, and you're still holding on to him. Why? Because you get it. This person understands it's all about me being in him, not about my situation, my life, or my surroundings. Person who doesn't get it think we come to him for our situation, our life, and our surroundings. And the minute either it goes wrong, we go, God, I'm done. You missed it. Or we go, when it's pleasurable, we go, God gave all this for me to enjoy myself. You must have done something wrong. We missed it. You get it? Hopefully your grasp means. But he says, otherwise, you believed in vain. Holding to his teachings. You want to go through the stuff you're going through. You may not desire, but spiritually, yep, I want to go through this to make sure I know absolutely nothing will turn me away from him. Absolutely nothing. That's powerful to go through the greatest storms and I firmly hold on to him, because we're showing it's not about the storms. We firmly rely on him. Those who truly love Christ must grow in the word, because you can't obey what you don't know. Amen. You can't obey. You can't say you're a Christian and say that you're staying firm in a word that you're not even reading. It shows in John 14, 23, 24, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my command, my teachings. Now, remember what he's showing here. He's not saying, hey, go obey my teachings and show me that you love me. That's not what he's saying. He was like, the ones who do love me, the way you'll know them is those are going to be the ones doing what I'm saying. And not just obey my teachings. Not what they think I'll say. They're going to clearly understand what I say. He says, my father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Okay, temple. We're at a temple following it. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So he just showed the exact opposite. There's only two choices. There is no middle. So it's going to be those who are living, doing what he says, basically in word, or those who are not. There's a lot more of those who are not. He says, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father. to the Father who sent. So we have this full access, especially today. We have in different translations. We got it on speaker that we can listen to. We have it on the internet. You get it on your phone. We all have access to it. And it's not just a study to say you're studying. It's an understanding of I have access to the way of life, to the path of life. And what do? We keep pursuing flesh. And those who are pursuing flesh, pursue flesh. It's temporary. Hopefully it's worth eternity. That's what he's trying to say. So this is for us too, for me to check me, for you to check you, and for us to check one another. Is that a person that loves Christ? Yeah, because they're doing exactly what the word tells me. I've met some very nice people in my life, and you have too, I'm sure, but are they godly people? And a lot of times we won't know, because if we're not reading the word, I don't know if they're following what the word says. But when I'm in the word, it helps me to see that. Those who are really loving him. You see, the kingdom of heaven is only for those who do God's will. Hopefully you're seeing the trend here. Okay? There's a pattern going on here. In Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay? Remember, there's two types of major wills you can really, in God's will, but you can break it up in two. His universal will that we find directly in the Bible. There's certain things that he gives direct instructions to every one of us. But then there's the individual will, because we all play a part. So what is my part? What is your part? And you may go, how do I know my part? And he breaks it down. God gives the secret to know that will in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll stop there for a minute. Here's the key. You watch more churches that are looking more like worldly governments. You have more church people who are looking more like worldly people. You have more church or Christian success looking more like worldly success. You're having Christian relationships acting like worldly. I can go on down the list. So we're still conforming to the patterns of the world. So that right there, it ends. So it stops. So you don't know his will. And you won't know his will because you're still doing stuff fleshly. You understand it? Now, this command he's giving us, when he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, because that's a command, it means I can do it. So I can play the victim and go, well, I couldn't help it. And I really meant well, and I tried. And he's letting you know, no. You understand that? He's letting us know, nope, that's just an excuse. You got to stop doing that first. Stop following the way the world does it. That's what it means when it says conforming. In other words, you're allowing the outside to influence you. He says, but be transformed. Now, God will do the transformation as I allow it. How? By the renewing of my mind. You'll be coming to me saying, Pastor, I need to know this word. Teach me this word. Show me this word. A lot of these lessons I've been going over lately, because I'm trying to break up that slow to learn. We're trying to get us so we're spiritual, because there's some, once again, more mature things we need to know. You won't get it. It's going to go, and it's going to go over your head only because slow to learn. You'll just be hearing me speak. We got to renew our minds. The renewing of our mind is I need to know step by step how to do everything. Okay, God, I got to bring this in. That's why he goes then and says then. You know what I mean? When I stop doing it the world's way, start really learning God's way, and all this is going to be in action, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you catch that? You'll know it. You'll know the test. Why? Because you know God. But you hear people today sometimes how they explain God. It blows my mind when they go, don't worry, God won't allow that to happen. Now, where'd that come off? That was some emotional answer you just gave. You know, you have to go, can you show me in the Bible where it said God would not allow that to happen? Do you know what I mean? You know, a person lost their job and they got in trouble. You know what I mean? And they did everything they did was right. And they were thrown in jail. God wouldn't allow that to happen, right? Maybe Joseph, right? You see, sometimes we say some things that's right there in front of us, but we'll say some things because it doesn't make sense. World's way of looking at it. And not by faith. God knows what he's doing. You get it? Okay, the word gives us that understanding. So I'm going into it clear-minded, and I'm not going into it Keith-minded, which is distorted and warped. So we need to stop conforming and start renewing in order to be transformed to know his will. Now, what must we do to learn at the right pace? So this is how we have to do it. We're going to have to follow this pattern. And then at the rate it's going, we're going to finish this because there was no question. So amen, you get this one full Bible study. But this is what we must do to learn at the right pace. First of all, we should make sure we get the word, keep the word, and live by the word no matter what. Okay? If you're very honest, a lot of us will receive the word, and as long as we see good outcome, we'll do it again. But we're walking by sight when it comes to God. You understand that? Not realizing God saying, I'm trying to condition you. And you won't be conditioned until I get you out the way. So I need to make sure you're going to trust me. So I'm going to take you through some things. But if I see you turning, we got to do it again. And some will just leave. When he shows in Luke 8:15, he says, but the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. You know what I mean? That noble and good heart is when my purpose is 100% all in with Christ. And what you're just going, God, you know, I'm frustrated, Christ, with what seems like it's going on and what I'm feeling, but tell me what to do and I'm doing it. You understand that? They recognize this tough. They recognize what's going on, but I'm all in. He says, who hear, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Breaking that down. First of all, hear. Hearing is you intently go to receive this word. Now, either you're going to have a bunch of questions after it until you get it, or you're going to get it. Then you're going to keep it. Next time I refresh you on it, it's just going to refresh what you already have in you. It's not going to seem like some new sermon. Okay, that's retaining it. And then the persevering means I did it, God. And it seems like those other people that didn't do it, everything went well for them. How come it didn't look that good for me? But I'm going to keep doing it until you tell me to stop doing it. Y'all catch that? So in other words, what you're looking at is not the outcome, it's the output. I did what you told me to do, despite how things may seem. Hopefully that makes sense. Despite how things may seem, right? You hear it, retain it, and persevere in it. You produce a crop. Fruit. You get this? That's the first thing, all right? This is a pattern you have to keep doing. Stop looking at life through your sight. Start looking at things through your faith. There's a reason why I'm going through this. Make sure, first of all, the reason is not me. Then if I'm still going through it, okay, God, I'm hearing it. I'm keeping it. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm struggling in it, but I'm going to keep doing it because I know you're doing something for me. And then reverence is a major attribute in our path to learning. Reverence, major. Reverence is something that's non-existent today, because if we truly had reverence, this sermon probably wouldn't even be had. You'd be, like I said, you'd be running to church saying, I gotta have this. What are you doing? So on and so forth. But we, you know, find ways to get away from it. We don't always keep caught up in it. And we allow ourselves to get distracted. He should even, once again, prophesied in Malachi 3:16-18. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Did you catch that? Who did he listen to hear? Those who feared the Lord. At times, I think, even in our prayers and the things that were going on, we're not being heard because we don't really revere him. It says, a scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them. Just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Watch this, because those who serve God and those who do not. See, serving him is you are my purpose. Now, how many of us say that, but our actions show otherwise? A true Christian serves God. A lot of us serve ourselves by serving God, right? I do this as long as God makes me happy, but then when I get fed up, God, I'm done. So you weren't really serving God, you were serving self. You get this? You got people that are struggling. Now, and then when they leave God, I don't know what they think they're going to do, instead of realizing, no, there's a reason why I'm going through this. Reverence is going to show through the toughest times, and you still keep doing what he says. Also, know the importance of growing in God's word and go through anything to get it, even suffering. Psalm 119:71 said, it was good for me to be afflicted. Y'all catch that? How many of us say that? Now, the word tells us that, but how many of us say that? How many of us say, I'm going through this, and man, this is good for me. Why? He said, so that I might learn your decree. See, a lot of us read them, but we don't learn them. You know what I mean? Your parents ever say, you're going to learn today. Instead, you know what you're supposed to do, but you're going to learn today. And this is what I'm saying. We go through the things so we can learn, so it can make that spiritual sense that we need, so that I'm not leaning on my own. Unfortunately, a lot of us stay emotional. We stay intellectual. We stay ignorant, or we allow the culture to influence us, and we don't. We ask for a breakthrough in our afflictions instead of counting it pure joy in our afflictions. You want to grow in this, even when it's painful. Also, we must be careful to receive and understand the word. This is a process that you're going to take your time on, and you're going to make sure it's happening, that you, nothing's getting in the way. Luke 8:17 through 18 says, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed. Okay, God is saying, a lot of people think they're, once again, this is why he says God cannot be mocked. I think a lot of us are living a lie, and we think we're getting one over. You're getting one over on the rest of us, but once again, the rest of us have no say if you go to heaven or not. But God is like, no. So he said, nothing hidden will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed will not be known or brought out into the open. So he says, therefore, he's saying, so since you know you're not playing games, hopefully you hear this, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. You'll go to church now with this mindset of, I gotta get this. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? No. Y'all don't understand. I have to get this. See, how many of us go right there and we have, oh, I was thinking about all this other stuff and what's going on. And man, what time is it? I hope it's going to be done soon. Instead of, man, I got to talk to him. I need to hear that again. Or y'all making me miss this. Or I got to blank that out so I can get this. Consider carefully how you listen. It says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. So if I go there and I'm receiving it, I'm going to gain from it. If I go and I allow distraction or whatever, you can blame anything or anybody else, even that which you think you have, you're going to miss. So instead of maturing, you're going to be declining. Churches are so distracted today, we do other things instead of receiving the word. And this is what he's saying. Consider carefully how you're doing this. He shows again in Proverbs 4:20-21, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Not doing what these people are doing when they're going and they're reading crossword puzzles and using the Bible, or they're making symbols and saying this symbol means this, or we're doing. No. Just listen closely to what the word says. As you read it and just really break it down, it gives you, man, there's so much. And it just explodes with knowledge and wisdom. And then he says, do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. So what Satan then does is either through pleasure or through distraction of pain, he tries to just make you take your eye off it, take your eye off the goal. Okay. So the paying attention means I really want to get what his word is saying. This is a process that you're going to do. And you don't look to me based on me. As the Bereans, who were a perfect example, showed in Acts 17:11. This is when the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness. That's like I said, they went to church, they sat there, and they heard. They could tell you the whole entire word that was preached. They know it one way or the other. They studied it. They pulled it in. They didn't allow themselves to get it distracted. But watch what they did. They examined the scripture every day. I've heard people sometimes hear a sermon, and they'll come back and go, yeah, they preached the word. Did they? Are you sure? You know what I mean? Sometimes you'll hear them preach a word or pieces from the word, but they didn't preach the word. I always tell you, please check me. And I'm telling you it again, please check me. He says, they examine scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. While there was probably others out there trying to get Paul's autograph, these guys were going, okay, sounds good. Let me make sure you're giving me what God says. Well, everybody else is going, amen, man, Paul is such a great, and he's such a this person, and he's this one. I've just seen him do this, and it was such great. They're going, I'm going to make sure what Paul is saying is in line with what God is saying. And they did this daily. That's what made them noble. And is that us? Or do we attach to man? Because Satan's like, I can sway a man. I could really mess you up, especially these puffed up men. We get up there and we think men of God. So we get up there and we want to give you our knowledge. Look how great we are. We don't give you wow and profound ministries instead of just giving you God's word. And the way we do it is we don't just receive it. You got to test it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, test everything. Test everything. I told you both my grandmother and my mother-in-law used to get mad at me because they said, why are you skeptical of everything? I said, because the Bible told me to. You know, I mean, my mother-in-law even asked me, where'd you get that from? And I showed her this. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. He said, test everything. So every time I heard something, I was like, okay. Now you'll get people today that feel guilty for feeling that way. Oh, I hated that. I feel bad that every time I hear something, I was like, why are you feeling bad? Cut it out. You see how your emotions mess us up? So we'll almost sometimes just go along with hearing a lie to make us feel better that we're not canceling out. There are much more lies out here instead of you testing it. And yeah, you're right. Ton of them, they don't pass the test. But for some odd reason, through our emotions, I feel bad because it was wrong, but I feel bad calling it wrong instead of me going, it was wrong, move on. There's a ton of wrong out there. Testing is best done by those mature and living in the word. If you're immature, testing is going to be hard. Why? Because you don't know the word. You understand it? He shows this in Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, watch this, who by constant use. So in other words, they receive it and they're doing it. And they're doing it, continually doing it. Watch what happens to them. Have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Right now, we're confused. Right now, there are clear biblical answers right now to a lot of stuff that's going on with masks. There's clear biblical answers to what's going on with vaccines. There's clear biblical answers to what's going on politically. There is very clear. Okay. Now, if I would just say it and put it out there, people are going to still have their opinions. And that's what's going to mess it up because we have no idea. We're going off of what we feel, what we think, what we desire, but we haven't trained ourselves to know. Right? Solid food. But you can't get solid food because you're slow to learn. Hence, we're back to the beginning. You get that? You need the solid food in order to test. It's a process in order to test effectively. As a young Christian, you start testing and you really got to work with it. But as you mature, your testing will become stronger and stronger. You'll know if it's in the word or not. And you'll ask a lot of questions for them to show you it in the word. Now, we are not just to hear it, we must do it. We talked about that earlier. We're going to see it again. James 1:22-25, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Did y'all catch that? When you heard me say it one time, I say it many times, people who just are very good studiers, and that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were notorious for being. They were excellent students of studying the word, but their lives showed nothing. Their lives did not show it. And it'll show in every aspect of your life, not just you pick certain parts and you ignore the other parts. That's why he says, and so deceive yourselves. There's a lot of people who are very good studiers still going to hell. That's deep to think about. Very deep. That's what he's saying. Don't just listen and so deceive yourself. Don't just go to church and say amen because you get it, but you're still headed in that wrong path. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, the whole reason you looked in the mirror is to see what you look like. And that you just wasted that time. That was the purpose of you looking in the mirror. That's what he's saying here. It says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. That's powerful, but rare. Powerful, but rare. All right. Our entire life ministry must be Bible rich. One big reason why I give so many scriptures in our studies is because I want you to make sure you're grabbing scripture. Scripture, scripture that's going together, that's soundly working together, and not hearing me give you the speech that may sound really good. I want to hopefully you're grabbing so much scripture, you're getting all this scripture, and it's just what you have. That's why it says in Colossians 3, 16 through 17, let, so this is something I have to allow, let what? The word of Christ, so I'm giving you scripture, not Keith Smith's speech, dwell in you richly. And hopefully when you receive it and you see that as scripture, it stays there and you remember it and you act upon it. And you got to then do it as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts and to God. Now, one thing I have to put out there, I remember I got more questions on. So are we supposed to teach and admonish? I got questions on. So do we sing psalms, spiritual songs? Do we sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to each other? That's not the important part in this. Y'all get this? It's the how we do that. See, that's the most important part. When this is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the rest of this stuff will come to you. The teaching and admonishing and singing psalms, you'll know that. Why? Because the word is so deep in you and so rich in you, you'll get it. You'll fully understand it. But we just go to the action without a foundation. See the problem? Okay? And then he breaks it down. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. That means everything I do is Christ's purpose, and I'm thanking him. Everything. It won't be, well, I did this for my kids. I did this for my family. I did this for my country. No, it'll be Christ's purpose. Let's finish this up. Recognize God's word is our protection and guide, so we should make it our desire to grow in it. It says in Psalms 119, 9 through 16, how can a young man keep his way pure? And then he's going to answer it, by living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All this is guided by his word. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Look who he's asking to teach. He's asking God to teach the decrees. So as I'm teaching you, you want to make sure that I'm teaching you using the Bible to teach you, because we want to learn from God, not from Keith. It says, with my lips, I recount all the law that come from your mouth. I rejoice in the following your statutes as one who in one rejoicing in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. This is a practice of when I look at my day, every little thing I've done, is it based on his word? Everything with everyone has been. That's why I say it. Meditate on it and consider it. All right, how did I do this? Based on God's word. All right, so next time I got to do this. And you'll see adjustments. You'll see changing in people with everything in every situation. Not habits, not the same old person. You're going to see us adjusting and changing and growing. And it's going to be, you'll hear somebody say something to you and you'll get it, because the word teaches us that, to quick to listen. How many of us hear somebody say something that you're doing wrong to them, and tomorrow you do the exact same thing? I don't get it, because you, and you're like, well, I must not heard them, but the word told you to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen means you go, wow, thank you. Right? Not foolish ambition and vain conceit, or selfish ambition and vain conceit. In humility, you're going to consider what they're saying. Man, that person said that to me, and that really bothered them. Based on God, I'm going to react. Based on God, you see this? This is just a small quiver of, or sliver, I'm sorry, of what he's showing us. And verse 16 says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Why do you say I delight? Because there's some of them that don't feel good. So I'm going to be good in them, and I'm not going to not do them. So all together, putting all that we have, the path of eliminating slow learning, all of the following are to be done as often as possible. First of all, study the word. Many do this, but you got to do it with a purpose of gaining what it says. So then when you go hear the word, first of all, you make sure it's the word. And you're studying the word. When you hear the word, you're like, yep, that's in line with the word. And this person that's teaching the word that God has given the gift or whatever to do it, is now putting that word together, and it's in line with what I already studied, right? Communicate the word. So as I'm speaking and talking and doing things and how I'm talking to one another, and as we have small groups, how we talk with our children, how we are in our families, the word is what we're communicating, not our own feelings, not our own wisdom, not what we think. Understand the word, not your own understanding. We just read earlier, the man without the spirit cannot understand. So I'm allowing the spirit to give me understanding in his word. So I let the word help me to understand the word, not my own understanding. Testing, making sure it's from the word. That's going to come back to why I studied the word, to make sure what I just heard in this sermon, what you just heard in this whole entire Bible study that we just finished in one setting, that is directly from the word. So you'll go back and you'll be able to go, yep, this is sound in the word. Or you'll go, Pastor, remember when you said this and that? This was off because the word said. Then you'll meditate on the word. You're going to think about it. Am I doing this? Am I slow to learn? If I were to give y'all a test and say, how many of you are slow to learn? Now, all of you are saying, nope, we're not. That means we can go on to some very high level word of God and you got it. And you're going to apply it and we're going to see it in your lives, or you're not. Then you apply the word. That means you're living it. You're an example. You're the walking word. Guess what? And you repeat. And you keep doing this till the day you die. That when you see this whole process, you know, when the verse where it tells us, or many verses where it tells us to wait on God, this is how you wait on God. This is how you wait on God. I'm just going to keep doing this process until he gives me a specific or give me that thing. And even when he gives me that thing, I'm going to do that thing along with doing this process. But what we just read is the main thing I'm going to continue to do. We right now have this problem that the Bible predicted was going to happen, and we have an opportunity not to be part of that and to minister to others not to be part of that. But it's hard to say because many are still part of this slow to learning group. Let us really go out of our way. I encourage you to help your prayer partner, help your groups, help your family, help other Christians. Stop being slow to learn and let us mature in him. Any questions? All right. Praise God. We thank him for his word. We did this whole entire lesson, one setting, because we didn't have any questions today. So praise God for that. Go back and study it. Make sure it's in line, that nothing was missed, that there was some other scripture that maybe could have explained something, you know, otherwise. Bring it up in your groups. Bring it up to one another. Talk about it. You understand? Have it in questions next week, or you get it. If you get it, we're going to start seeing maturing even more so. You understand that? Okay. And it's a good question to ask. Are you maturing? Am I maturing? Amen. All right. So, no other questions, and we'll pray. All right, let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you for the warnings that you give us, and help us, dear Lord, not to be insulted, to be frustrated, but to receive them. When we are alive and well, in order to receive your word, it's such a blessing through your mercy. Once again, the opportunities that you give us, help us not to take them for granted. Help us not to live outside of revering you, dear Lord, but to realize the gift that you have offered and given to us. Let us live in that, dear God, and walk in that way at all times. We love you so much, dear Lord, and we know there's so much going on around us, but your word keeps us on the straight and narrow. We want to make sure we're in that path, that we're always following you, and we're not being distracted by things going on around us. Help us to grow as the body needs to grow, for each and every one of us to play our part, that we may work together with you, your son, as the head, dear Lord. So as we leave out here today, we ask you to bless everyone as they maybe school, work, home, whatever they're doing, dear Lord, bless them in what they're doing, that they may take this word, and whatever they do it all to glorify you, that we may grow in you. We love you, and we thank you, and all these blessings we ask in your Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say.
Amen.
All right. Love you all.
Love you.
Love you. Good night.
Good night.